Welcome back to It's Haunted, What Now? I'm your host, Lainey. You know the gist of this podcast is to gather and curate stories that bring the chills and make you want to sleep with the lights on for the rest of your life. So today we bring you stories we gathered from the community after they were posed with one particular question. What's the scariest paranormal activity you've ever experienced? Of course, you guys never disappoint. Okay, ready to get spooked? Gabe answers the question with something silly and something slightly sinister. The scariest paranormal activity I ever experienced was at my own rented home. In 2014, we moved into a rental built in 1923. We were there for about 6 months, and it was nice until things got weird. Mostly low-key stuff that was kind of funny sometimes. For example, my credit card went missing, and I assumed the wife had snagged it. Nope, I was approaching the land of pissed when she suggested I ask the ghost where it was. To humor her, I did. 20 seconds later, the Blu-ray disc holder slid out, and on it was my credit card. The detached garage was the scary part. It was my workshop. In real life, I am an engineer, and in my personal time, I am an amateur machinist. All my reference manuals were on a bookshelf with glass doors, and the whole workshop often felt off. I was arranging my tools with my back to the bookcase, which weighed a couple hundred pounds with the books on it. I heard a strange sound, like something vibrating, and the bookshelf pushed itself off the wall, and my back went through the glass doors. Luckily, it didn't cut me. I am a large and scary-looking guy. After that, I spent very little time out there. We moved out in 2018, but are still in contact with our old neighbors. After we left, the house was empty, and the neighbor reported all the lights were going on and off, and she thought we were there and having trouble. Okay, Gabe, you said low-key, and that last one was not as low-key as you seem to think it was. Anything that can potentially harm you is not low-key in my book, and it's also a big fat nope. But since you're in contact with the neighbors who took the lease, can you find out if they're experiencing anything like you did outside of the lights? Because we would love to hear more. Oh, and also, you guys, when you are commenting on Spotify, please be kind in the comments to your fellow story submissions, because I did see one that was like, yes, of course we want to know, but be kinder when you say it so then I can post it. Now, our next story comes from Mikey, who answers the question with one freaky cryptid encounter. I've had a few paranormal experiences throughout my life, but this one popped up in my brain the other day, and I've been thinking about it a lot and can't really explain what happened, so I thought I'd share. About 2 years ago, in the dead winter, my power went out. This was a big problem for me because I have a pet leopard gecko who requires heating elements to survive. It started getting very cold in my apartment very quickly, to the point I became worried about my pet's safety and did the only thing I could think to do, which was to take my gecko to my car and crank the heater up. Normally, we get a few power outages every winter in my area, and they last maybe an hour or two. This was different, because the power did not come back for 6 hours. After about an hour sitting in my driveway, I got extremely bored and started driving around my neighborhood, which had some more rural areas that butted up against a national forest. One of these areas is an absolutely beautiful overlook, where you can see miles of the forest and also a few streetlights, so I'd be able to see if the power came back on. I drove there and parked to enjoy the view. I had the heat running for a while and the car had gotten a bit hot, so I rolled down the window to let in some cool air, and almost immediately started hearing something far off at first. Kind of a weird, sad-sounding howl mixed with a squawk. I assumed this was an animal, but rolled the window up almost all the way just in case. Over the next 20 minutes, the sound got progressively closer and closer to the car until it sounded like it was circling me. I can still hear this sound in my mind clear as day, even though this happened several years ago. and I know what animals we had locally and what they sounded like. This didn't sound like any of them. I got nervous and decided to leave to get some food and gas in a neighboring town that still had power. About another hour passes, and there's still no power. Having convinced myself the sound was just an animal and it had probably long since moved on, I went back to the overlook to enjoy my meal. About another hour goes by without anything happening. No noise, nothing, until eventually I see movement among the big rocks in front of me. It's starting to get dark, so I can't really make it out perfectly, but at one point it looked like the head of a disfigured animal peered at me over a rock and then disappeared. I see this several more times, but I stay because if it was an animal, there was something severely wrong with it, be it an injury or a birth defect that would probably affect its quality of life, and I wanted to be able to let Animal Control know so they could help find it or put it out of its misery if necessary, since it was clearly staying in that exact area. After a while, it starts making noise again, the same one as before, but now it's also added this horrible gurgling and sounds almost human. At this point, it's gotten completely dark and I can't see much of anything, but I can still hear it circling the car. Eventually, I hear what sounds like something messing around near the back tire, and I panic and peel out of the parking spot. I look behind me and see what is now very clearly a person in the taillights. They attempted to chase the car for a few feet, but quickly gave up. Is it possible this was just a person under the influence or suffering from a mental health issue? Yeah, it definitely could be, but that seems pretty unlikely since it was probably below 30 degrees outside and far enough out of everyone's way that I doubt anyone would be hanging out there, let alone hanging out there for hours and wearing what appeared to be animal skin on their head. If it wasn't a person, based on the location and how the thing looked, it was probably an epidermis walker. This experience still terrifies me to this day. I believe I may have a recording of the sound that I will try to find. If I can find it, I will send it. But due to the power outage, I didn't film or record most of the experience to conserve my already dying phone. Ew, so I got serious chills and major ick energy from this story. You had the right idea peeling out of there because I worry about what it was doing back with your tire. Like, imagine it was trying to cut your tire and give you a flat so you'd have to get out of the car. No thanks. It could have been trying, like I said, to disable your vehicle, and who knows what would have happened if you wouldn't have been able to get out of there. Granted, I have driven with a flat tire down to the bare rim, and it was necessary. I had to do it, but I would have done it in this case too. Now, I hope that you are able to find that audio when we get to hear whatever it is that you may have captured. Now, answering the call again to answer this question, Overall Disaster 4224 answers a question about a house full of horrors. This was around 2008 to 2009-ish. I lived in a haunted house at an early age, though despite this, my memory remains fresh of most of these encounters. We were there for over a year, so I was 4, turning 5 at the time. I lived with my older brother, older than me by 3 years, my younger sister, younger by 3 years, so still just a baby at the time, and my mother and father. The house looked overgrown. Thin vines grew on the walls, large bushes in front of the windows, and it was fenced in the front with a large gate circling the backyard. The hauntings started pretty quickly. My mom would hear heavy boots stomp up the stairs despite nobody being there. She'd also hear my grandmother singing to my sister despite my grandmother just dying months earlier. While on the topic of my grandmother, my mother saw a massive pile of ladybugs covering the car just days after Grandma passed. My grandmother, despite being tough, always liked ladybugs. There was a time she was in the backyard during the afternoon, and the weather was perfect for the summer. She was closing the large gate, And mind you, she's a big and very strong lady, yet this gate had her in one hell of a struggle. She finally closed and locked it, so when she went to go inside, she heard a sharp, splintering snap. She turned around to see the gate, wide open, lock busted, as if a bull rammed into it. The paranormal activity didn't stop with her. My father would get locked out of the house despite nobody being inside. My brother would see doors opening by themselves, and he even told me just recently about how he'd always see a girl on the other side of the fence, watching him play, every day. But I got the worst of it. These are my own experiences. I, being a mother's boy, was looking out of my window, watching my mother go to work. She had a double shift, as my dad wasn't the best of dads, to put it lightly. And I stared until I noticed a large, pitch-black snake following her to her car. The snake looked to be double her in length, despite it slithering, thus curling its body. My mother is 5'9", which would make the snake around 11 feet long. It had followed her for a couple of minutes until she'd gotten into her car. Then it slithered back into the bushes near my window. I looked down to see it looking right at me. Despite this, I would still go outside and play, like always. Playing in the backyard till dusk, my brother and I were doing our own things on opposite sides. My brother, who loves sports, would run around throwing a football, whereas I played with one of my toy animals. One toy in particular was a big T-Rex. The T-Rex looked like one of the older renditions before Jurassic Park, upright with its tail dragging to the ground. As the sun set further, our mother called us inside for dinner, so we went inside. I noticed that I left my toy and went to go get it. It was dark to where I couldn't make out any noticeable color, but not too dark so I can see outlines and details of the objects. I noticed the T-Rex chilling right by the tree where I had left it. I went to pick it up, only for it to crumble. It was dirt in the shape of the T-Rex. I got freaked out and ran back inside. Now notice I said that I can remember most of these encounters. The reason I point this out is because my father said he'd often see me sitting in the corner of my room or in front of a blank screen, and he'd ask me what I'm doing. I'd simply say, "The old man told me to." I have no recollection of this happening, but my father swears up and down that this happened. The last one was the most horrific. Waking up in the middle of the night, I heard footsteps. Luckily, my TV was on, so I still had light. And thinking it was my dad, I got up to go to him. But when I opened the bedroom door, there was an old man standing there. He looked down at me and looked like a corpse. I freaked out and banged on my mother's bedroom door. She opened it and I hollered about how there was an ugly man in the house. She took it as someone actually breaking in and picked me up with one hand and had a bat in the other. She basically ran around the house, turning every light on and cussing loud enough to worry some of the neighbors. As I typed this down, I talked to my mom about the house. She said that the old man incident actually happened twice, and that my great-grandpa might have known the guy. I might ask him about it, but other than that, this was just one of my many paranormal experiences. Now listen, I know you had no choice, but your parents were extremely brave to stay in a place with so many happenings. Now, knowing I have a three-year-old or about to be three-year-old, if she did what you did, I'd be like, I guess we're finding a way to sell this house immediately. I would go and stay with my mom. I have no idea. If you get around to hearing more information from your grandpa, we would love to have an update on anything additional that you learn. Now, the Disney Witch answers the question with a story about a notoriously haunted ship. Hello, everyone. It happened 19 years ago, but I love telling it because it's almost become like a campfire ghost story at this point. I'm 29 years old, and this happened when I was about 10. It does need some backstory because my childhood was very paranormal-centric in a way. My mom and I have always been horror movie fans. I can't even remember far enough back to a time when I didn't like horror. We also live in Jacksonville, Florida, which is about a 45-minute drive from St. Augustine, the oldest city in the US and probably also the most haunted. All of this naturally progressed into us becoming very interested in the paranormal, So much so that my parents formed a ghost hunting team when I was about 9. I wasn't allowed on the big investigations, but I was allowed to see some really cool places. One house we used to go to often was in Blackshear, Georgia, and the family there became lifelong friends even when they moved to Kentucky. They even got an episode on Dead Files. I have so many great memories from those days that I'll probably never forget. One of the scary memories is one I'll also never forget. My parents and I went on a trip to California because my dad had to go for work, and we all went. While he was doing his meetings, my mom and I visited Disneyland, and it felt like a fun vacation. One evening during the trip, the three of us went on a ghost tour at the Queen Mary. I don't remember much of that tour because it was a little boring, mostly the tour guide doing knock once for yes, two for no kinds of questions in haunted areas. The stories were fascinating and the energy there was extremely sad and oppressive for me. One of the stops on that tour was the first class swimming pool and its attached dressing room, which essentially just looked like a public bathroom with stalls and no doors. This area had the worst energy of the whole ship, but there was supposedly some kind of mean trickster spirit that hung around there. I think I experienced the spirit when we were there. We were in the dressing room and the tour guide decided to try something. She had one person go into each of the stalls of the dressing room, and she told everyone to turn off all flashlights and cameras and just sit there and see what might happen. As soon as the room went black, within a few seconds, something grabbed my upper arm and exhaled into my ear. I felt the warmth. It scared me to death, pun intended, so much so that I immediately yelled and came running out as lights were turned back on and I actually cried for my mommy. I've heard recently that around that time is when they blocked off that area and stopped doing tours there as well. While I don't think something that happened to me would have caused it, I can't help wondering if either it was my experience that made them stop tours there, or that something like that happened to others and they decided to close it up for safety reasons. I know this has stuck with me even today. I watch a lot of paranormal investigators on YouTube, and I watched one where someone was able to get into the first class pool and I could feel that energy again. It felt like I almost had a panic attack. It was a terrifying encounter for me and I vowed to never go back there again. But I think I may do it for a sense of closure. I don't know if I'll get the chance to, but it would be interesting. You had me in the first half. I'm not going to lie. I thought we were going to get some wild St. Augustine ghost stories, but the pivot to the Queen Mary had me reeling. I don't even want to know what kind of first-class jerk was being creepy with you in the afterlife, but I'm glad that they stopped the tours. I have to imagine it was some kind of first-class spirit because any other kind would just keep me awake at night, and I'm not really interested in that. Anyways, if you have any additional stories, even for your time in St. Augustine, we would love to hear them. Follow back up so we can find out what kind of spooky happenings were happening around there. Well, that does it for this episode, unless you're an Apple subscriber, in which case, stay tuned after the credits, where you'll get to hear additional stories as a special treat. If you'd like to submit your own personal spooky tale to be read on the show, head to hauntedpod.com and click on the link to submit your story. You can also email me, hauntedpod@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast player of choice. It really does help. You can find us on Twitter, for now, @podcast_haunted, Instagram @itshauntedwhatnow, or @hauntedpod.com. Production assistance by Jesse Hawk, writing assistance by Sherilyn Reyes. The official composer and audio smith for the show is Neeks @WeTalkOfDreams. Check him out on Twitter @WeTalkOfDreams or WeTalkOfDreams.com. Until next time. Did you hear that?